What is the history of Mordor? Why is it like it is? Has it always been Sauron's base? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and much more. If you like the sound of that, welcome. From The Lord of the Rings, we know Mordor as Sauron's base of operations, an inhospitable and desolate land fit only for orcs and other servants of the Dark Lord. But was it always Sauron's home? And was it always like that? What is the history of Mordor? Much of Tolkien's writings about the First Age of Middle-earth and earlier are focused on the west of Middle-earth, in places like Beleriand, the land that was sunk at the end of the First Age. So references to Mordor far to the south and east of there from early on in its history are rare. But we do have an intriguing footnote from Christopher Tolkien in Volume 12 of The History of Middle-earth, where he mentions that Mordor may be already an Elvish name for that region because of its volcanic Orodruin and its eruptions, which were not made by Sauron, but a relic of the devastating works of Melkor in the Long First Age. So Orodruin, which later became known as Mount Doom, was formed by Morgoth, the original main antagonist of Tolkien's legendarium, in the First Age. And although there were seemingly humans and maybe even some elves down there, the first resident of Mordor we hear about is Shelob. She fled the War of Wrath at the end of the First Age to make a home in Ethel Duath, the mountains along the west of Mordor, as we read in The Lord of the Rings. How Shelob came there, flying from ruin, no tale tells, for out of the dark years few tales have come. But still, she was there, who was there before Sauron, and before the first stone of Barad-dûr, and she served none but herself. So by the time Frodo and Sam stumbled into Shelob's lair, she's been there for literally thousands of years, seemingly choosing her spot there for its combination of dark caves and ready access to elves and men to feast on. Sauron appears to have chosen Mordor for his base sometime around the year 1000 of the Second Age, after he had been in hiding for most of the early part of that age. Why there? Well, there are lots of reasons. The three mountain ranges to the north, west and south make it a naturally defendable position. It's far from the prying eyes of most of the elves. It contains Orodruin, a volcano that we know he was wanting to forge things in, plus the volcanic ash clouds would shield his orcs from the sun, a perfect spot for him to establish a permanent base in Middle-earth. The other factor at the time was that he was starting to get a bit concerned about the strength of the Numenoreans and the elves. We read in Unfinished Tales that news of these things, the elves' growing strength in the west, came to the ears of Sauron, and increased the fears that he felt concerning the coming of the Numenoreans to Lindon and the coasts further south, and their friendship with Gil-galad. And he heard tell also of Aldarion, son of Tar-Meneldur, the king of Numenor, now become a great shipbuilder who brought his vessels to haven far down into the Harad. Sauron therefore left Eriador alone for a while, and he chose the land of Mordor, as it was afterwards called, for a stronghold as a counter to the threat of the Numenorean landings. You may have noticed that there's an apparent small contradiction here with the earlier quote about when Mordor started to be called Mordor. Was it before or after Sauron settled there? For those new to delving deep into Tolkien's writings, this is quite normal. His process of creation was one of constant change and evolution. Mordor is a Sindarin, Elvish word, that means, quite literally, land of the shadow or the black country. In my mind, it may have started as a simple description of the effect of the volcanic ash cloud often hanging over it, but later turned into a comment on it being Sauron's land, hence there being a bit of confusion about the derivation of the name. After Sauron moved into Mordor, he started construction of Barad-dûr, the mightiest fortress in all Middle-earth. If you want more on that, then please check out my Seven Wonders of Middle-earth video, but suffice it to say that it took 650 years to build. That's how massive an undertaking it was. And he also converted Orodruin into a forge, where he later made the One Ring, and presumably other things, though we don't hear about them. And of course, an orc army was bred, and the evil things of the world congregated there. Sauron then ruled from Mordor for the rest of the Second Age. Bar a couple of jaunts up to Eregion for 300 years or so to forge the Rings of Power, then to invade, and over to Numenor for half a century to bring about its downfall. And from Mordor, he spread his power to the east and south, bringing places like Harad under his control. These nations then became essentially vassal states to Mordor. We'll touch on that again in a moment. He styled himself with a variety of vainglorious titles like King of Men and Lord of the World. His reign there was only ended when, with the last alliance of elves and men, he was slain and the One Ring was cut from his finger. And with Sauron, Mordor fell. Sauron's forces scattered. The victorious forces of Gondor razed the Dark Tower to the ground. Such was their fear, though, that Sauron might one day return, that they kept a watch on it, and they built watchtowers and fortresses around it to keep an eye on it, some of which we know, the Towers of the Teeth, Cirith Ungol, and others. We may think of them as defences for Mordor, but they were originally built to keep a watchful eye over it. Of course, the destruction of Mordor was not complete. Sauron's spirit fled and survived, as did the Nazgul and others. Shelob stayed hidden in her lair, and although the Black Tower was felled, the foundations of Barad-dûr were so indomitable that they could not be destroyed. And perhaps crucially, the land itself was left alone. No one wanted to live in Mordor, at least the north and western parts of it, such was the shadow of the past hanging over there. Much of the Third Age is a story of how Gondor's vigil over Mordor slackened, then was completely abandoned. It started with the Great Plague in 1635, which decimated the population, leading to many of the watchtowers being left unguarded. The invasion of the Wainriders from the east followed a couple of hundred years later. Gondor withdrew a little more, and evil began creeping into Mordor. The Witch King of Angmar himself took up residence in the year 1980, and he summoned the other Nazgul. 20 years later, they captured Minas Ithil from Gondor, turning it into Minas Morgul. Over time, other watchtowers and fortifications fell too, and soon all the defensive structures that were intended to keep evil out of Mordor were now changed to protect Mordor from Gondor. Eventually, after being forced from Dol Guldur, Sauron himself returned, declaring himself openly in 2951 and ordering the reconstruction of the Dark Tower. Given what we have seen of Mordor in the films and the books, you could be forgiven for thinking that it is all dark and grey and inhospitable. However, that's not entirely true. In fact, there are three distinct parts to Mordor. The part we know best, the Plain of Gorgoroth, is the desolate part we see most. It's in the northwest of Mordor, surrounding Mount Doom and Barad-dûr. Hardly anything grows. Fumes strong enough to choke you seep out from fissures in the ground, and smoke and steam hang heavy in the air. There are forges and mines and a vast plain to amass the army of Mordor. When Frodo and Sam look out over it, that army has started to build a temporary city of sorts. We read, "As far as their eyes could reach, along the skirts of the Morgai and away southward, there were camps, some of tents, some ordered like small towns. One of the largest of these was right below them. Barely a mile out into the plain, it clustered like some huge nest of insects, with straight, dreary streets of huts and long, low, drab buildings. About it, the ground was busy with folk going to and fro. A wide road ran from it southeast to join the Morgul Way, and along it many lines of small black shapes were hurrying." By contrast, the southern part of Mordor, Nirn, is more fertile, getting the benefit of the volcanic ash from Orodruin without the ever-present cloud cover cutting off the sun. There's a large saltwater inland sea and extensive farmland tended by slaves during Sauron's rule. We know less about the third part of Mordor, Lithlad, other than it is a plain and it seems to be more hospitable than Gorgoroth, but not as fertile as Nirn. Lithlad literally means Plain of Ashes. At least by the end of the Third Age, Sauron's control of the region was such that we hear of great roads that ran away east and south to tributary lands, from which the soldiers of the Tower brought long wagon trains of goods and booty and fresh slaves. So Mordor was not just Sauron's own land, but the hub of an economic and military empire that stretched far off beyond the boundaries of that land. Now, of course, all that was destroyed at the end of The Lord of the Rings. The destruction of the Ring meant not only that Sauron wouldn't return, but also all of the works wrought by Sauron and the power of the Ring were brought low too. That's why the Black Tower collapsed when the Ring was destroyed. It wasn't just a clever bit of engineering, it was wrought by magic. That left Aragorn with the same decision to make as his Gondorian ancestors. How should he treat Mordor now that Sauron was gone? His solution was to grant freedom to the slaves of the land and give them the land they had been working, the fertile part of Nirn in the south of Mordor. We don't know about the rest, although the orcs all died or were scattered, so that too would have been emptied out. Not that anyone would want to live there, for a while at least. The plains of Gorgoroth in particular would not make for a happy home, and the shadow of evil is long. Perhaps there is some hope, though. It may take generations, but free from Sauron's yoke, protected by the three mountain ranges around their land, and with the whole of the nutrient-rich soil of southern Mordor at their disposal, perhaps the former slaves of Nirn can build a future of plenty for themselves, free from fear and oppression. I hope so. If you'd like to see more videos like this, diving deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of the screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.